Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
All right.
All good?
It's all good.
Welcome on.
4, 3, 2...
Hey, Ears Edition listeners, this is Zubin Parang, co-executive producer and writer for The Daily Show. We are so happy to be back on the air with new episodes of The Daily Show, and we have a special treat. Today, I am joined by Daily Show showrunner, writer, and executive producer, sitting right next to me, Jen Flans. Hey, Jen, how you doing?
Hi, Zub. How you doing?
Yes, clap, 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 clap.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that
all
clapping? Well, you'll be delighted to know we're also joined by our old friend, our on-again, off-again boss, the host of The Daily Show for 16 years, and again, Mr. Jon Stewart. Welcome to our new fancy podcast studio. John, what do you think?
Zubin, your hosting skills in only 9 years have improved. I don't know if you've gone to some type of adult learning center for the kinds of hosting skills that you're performing right now, but they've taken a leap forward that I enjoy very much.
Thank you. I've been to several boot camps to learn how to host.
Wait, they have a podcast boot camp?
They do. You have to spend 6 months speaking into a microphone. You do a lot of push-ups for some reason.
And then at the end of it,
you have to successfully sell a Casper mattress or else you are never heard from again.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That would make a really great podcast. Yeah. Someone should do...
Like try to sell something to someone on the air. That's a good idea.
Someone should do a 6-month boot camp podcast.
Madam.
I love it. I mean, I'm sure there's already like 6 Bushwick guys who are doing that podcast separately. There's a lot of podcasts.
John's not really in our podcast studio.
No, John, you are watching.
But you can see how nice it is.
Yeah. Wait,
can I tell you something? It does look like definitely one of the places that they thought they might shoot Between Two Ferns, but then decided.
It was an honor just to be there, though, to be in that conversation.
You were definitely in when they showed the 3 pictures to Zach Galifianakis and said, "What about this?" And he went,
"Close.
It's close.
Close.
But it may be missing one fern."
And that's fair. It was our mistake.
If this were just 2 people around a fern, we could shoot that. I don't think it's right for Between Two Ferns.
That was our mistake to put one fern in the room for Between Two Ferns. One of us should have said something about it.
Where is that in the building? Is it in the building?
It's next to the green room. Remember how there's 3?
Oh, that. So the room that you're in is the room that I edited.
Oh, yeah, the move. Yeah, it was your edit.
That's where we edited Rosewater.
Yeah.
Was in that.
Oh, my God. Remember
There's a plaque
that?
Here in the room very much. It says Rosewater was edited here.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and by the way, it must be annoying for all the tourist groups to come by.
Yes,
Because it is very similar to like the Lord of the Rings tourism where people, there's a whole Rosewater movie tourist industry where they come in and they're
Well, that's why we put the plaque up, but we didn't want to like just, you know.
I mean, I will say a lot of my Iranian relatives
I've missed you guys.
A lot of my Iranian relatives would visit for that Rosewater site, though. I will say that.
Yes, no, it was a huge bootleg success.
Lots of my cousins have VHS.
In Iranian communities, it was a huge bootleg success. That's for sure.
John, let's just get right into this, all right? We've dicked around enough. You've been back in the building for a few weeks now. Wow. The question is, in your mind, John Stewart is back. What do you make of the snacks? There used to be potato chips. There's now a lot of veggie sticks.
If people don't know, no, but it's not just veggie sticks, Jubin. Don't sell the place short.
There's popcorn.
There is popcorn. That's true.
But people don't know, what Trevor did not only was bring his own flair and intelligence and wit to The Daily Show. He apparently has a design sense. Like, I did not know. I was there for 16 years. I did not know we were allowed to make the building and the office look nice.
Yes, that was a big innovation on Trevor's part. Yeah. Yes,
he did walk in and he was like, "Are we allowed to?"
I had no idea. There's tile flooring and there's steel framed window panes that slide and open up into kind of a coffee bar area. And when we were there, it was designed in plebeian chic, I believe you would call it. It looked like a bureaucratic and administrative satirical movie about what it was like to work in a bureaucratic nightmare.
It was like Trevor did when he came in, did have this idea of like, what if we had an office that did not make people sad when you walked in? That did not.
I didn't know we were allowed to do that.
Right. And by the way, we weren't sad, so we didn't know.
Yeah,
we didn't know.
We're having a good time. He's like, but it could look nicer. All right.
I think you'll also be, happy to see that we have had what used to be, I think, just one variety of potato chip has now been replaced by just endless organic
flavors.
Gummies. Yes.
The snack game. Uh-huh. Now, to be fair, advances in snacking over 9 years, you are living in a different universe.
It's really not fair to compare it.
It's not. When I was there, the only snacks that were available to people, and obviously this was years ago, were crackers, salted and unsalted. And those were the only snacks that were made. And then there was an explosion in ingenuity and in snack technology. And when I look, and you got, here's what people don't know. So do you know those racks?
Yeah.
That if you were to go to a CVS and they have that one little rack, it's like a tree. A beautiful Christmas tree that you can hang snacks on.
It makes the snacks even more appealing when they're hanging on that tree.
So my question to you guys is, who stole it
from
a convenience store?
Yes.
And is it a wanted snack tree?
It is.
I don't think we should talk about that here.
No.
Because
no,
that would be maybe one of us had something.
Jen Flans, I remember you when you weren't a company woman. I remember you when you would speak truth to power.
I'm just trying to stay out of, trouble so I can produce the show for you. Okay.
Not to be too real, but I think that snack tree is also a way to get around mice.
I was just going to say it. I know. I was going to say it. And then I'm like, should I give away the game?
Yes.
Do you guys remember?
We've had mice here. Yes. Okay.
Do you remember Hot Dog?
Was Hot Dog a mouse?
Oh, guys.
No, I don't know who I told you.
You don't remember. That's one of Maggie's favorite stories about The Daily Show. So
yes, I do know.
We were doing a bit one night where we needed to get a mouse. And we got somebody scored. They went down to the pet store and they got a bait mouse.
Yeah, like a little feeder mouse.
Oh.
That was about to be prey. And when Maggie got wind of it, she promised me that we would keep him safe. Oh. And so we had to build a terrarium.
Yes.
She named him Hot Dog. And I don't know if you remember, she made that big folder of all the care items.
I remember. Oh my God.
How to take care of Hot Dog. And she brought it in.
I remember that. Oh my God.
What happened to Hot Dog? I know the answer.
Okay. He lived to be 103.
Oh my God. Wow,
in mouse years.
What happened to Hot Dog was he became a brilliant French chef and moved lived in Paris apparently under a different name and became quite well renowned.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. I'm glad. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me he died.
No. What?
Oh, boy. No. I'm sorry.
And by the way, if Maggie comes to the show to visit, you will tell her.
No, yes.
He moved to France to be a chef. That was the story that I told her.
He's at a farm in France.
That's right.
John, let me ask you something else. You know, John, the media.
Yes.
John,
you,
the media.
Why do you keep saying my name? John, I feel like you're setting me up for something terrible.
It's that kind of stuff when you say something over and over again to remember what the name is.
Jubin.
John Stewart.
Jubin.
John, the media has changed so
I have
much.
Noticed you haven't said my name. Even
Jen,
more than one
listen,
time.
John, Jen,
Chief, let
Jubin.
Me ask you a question.
I'm going to
ask Jen?
Yeah.
Jubin?
Jen and John. I, Jubin, I'm asking you guys. About all the changes that have happened here. You know, there's a lot of changes.
There have been a lot of changes.
There's been differences.
But also not so many.
Not so many. But all Jen, you've successfully navigated this show through many, many eras of The Daily Show.
So many.
So many. John, Trevor.
Yeah.
I believe 250 guest hosts.
At least.
In the intervening years.
I was here with Craig.
You were here with Craig.
I saw John walk in the
Kilborn.
Door.
Jen Flans was there when I got there.
I was.
Jen, were you, at that time, you were a PA, yes?
I was a assistant production coordinator, and I sat right behind reception. Remember that little cubicle I had right behind reception?
Yes.
And before the conference room. And I remember when you walked in, you were like in your leather jacket. And I was like, this is going to be cool. And he said hi to everyone. And John, you asked me my name. And not to disparage anyone, I don't think Craig knew my name. And I was so excited.
Wow. Oh, Jen,
and you are? I said, Jen?
Yeah.
Awesome. It's like, this is great.
I love how you're the one person who was always fooled by a leather jacket, no matter who.
I'm like, you're going to be cool. Like, this guy's got to be cool.
A leather jacket, and I didn't say, what's your name? I said, hey. What's your name? Whoa.
He's like, what's
ba-boom.
Your name?
Ba-boom.
You learned everyone's name pretty quickly, which I thought was so impressive.
It's the one thing I have control over. Everything else
so
is
nice.
Just...
But anyway.
It's funny how hard that is now. Like,
oh my God.
In the old days, I used to be able to do that pretty easily. And now I made Jen give me a
Facebook.
Yeah. It's like a list of everybody that's there. And I like sit and like point at them. Oh. But even that's like, for my brain is not as elastic. So it's,
it's tough. We got, so a, everybody lot of, we mind, got a lot of people here. We have more
I'm
people
calling
than we did.
Everybody Jen. It's, and just hoping that
I tell you, it's good to do that. Everybody remembers when you say their name, which is why, John, I'd like to ask you.
What?
You know, John, the media landscape has changed so much. When you left the show, there was no TikTok. Now there's TikTok. There are podcasts. Now they've blown up. There's YouTube. There's so much places to get misinformation. And I'm wondering, John, where you get your misinformation.
Jubin, when I started at The Daily Show, there was only two ways to get information. The streets.
Uh-huh.
What are the streets saying?
The streets! You would go out on the streets and say, can someone tell me what a dirty Sanchez is? Somebody just said that. Does anyone know? They would say, come over here. And the other was, you had to wait for them to make a pamphlet from a printing press. Ah. So these were the only two ways that you could gather information. It's relentless now. I thought it was relentless when I left.
Right?
It's geometrically past the moment. And as I think the great Maria Ressa says, a lie travels 10 times or 6 times or 7 times faster around the world than the truth. I think it's a much more dire situation, but at least none of these social media entities have monetized that idea and incentivized misinformation, because that would truly be dangerous.
Well, that would accelerate.
So I'm really glad that they fight it so vigorously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know somebody who was a content moderator on Facebook, who was one of the people who had to like go through all of the you know, it's that like really terrible paying
How can you make an individual do that? That seems like an impossible task.
Brutal. They were there for like 2 or 3 days, and they're like, the amount of hideousness that you see, people just like very casually posting up, just like, you know, videos of murders, videos of brutal things that they are just putting up just to see if it sticks. But someone's got to go through that and take that down. And that's certainly, you know, all the AI is being used instead to find out how to, like, you know,
right,
to steal music and to write things instead of, you know, doing that. So it's a very brutal job, but you'll be happy to know they don't pay very well.
So
they are addressing it.
I know how brutal it gets. Like, all I need to do is, like, you know, announce a tour date. And it's only like 2 comments in before everybody's like, Jew! And you're like, oh, that's all right. Yeah, that
true,
seems weird.
True.
But they go at it, man.
And let's ask a question here.
All right.
Specifically about, you know, John, you're back to cover this election, 2024. Mm-hmm. What is it about this election that you are most eager to take on? Because I personally don't know what much there is to satirize. The, you know, the candidates are very of sound mind. Right. The media seems prepared to root all the issues.
I think the word eager is the one that I find so interesting.
Sure, you can reject that.
For me, it's not just about the election. It's if you want to be present in this world, you have to be present in this conversation, and you have to be as relentless and tenacious as the counter narrative that's being formed through, you know, so much of the information that we see now is weaponized by all different, and it keeps taking exponential leaps, which is why, you know, it's not just the election, it's AI, it's the way that we've militarized all our conflict. Like, it all ties together to, I think, this one larger idea, which is the form of government that we cherish so much is really an analog, I don't want to say dinosaur, but it is analog. And the world now moves at an increasingly, infinitely digital pace. And reconciling those two things, I think, is the challenge of the moment for people. And I'm excited to be with you guys again and the Best Fucking News team and to just be a part of that conversation, because I think you have to register your thought and complaint so that it can be referenced. Because remember, AI is now the sum total of all that we do. AI really is an information laundering system, a vacuum that takes up all the pieces of human information and then spits them back out in a sort of reconstituted form. If you want this world of the future to be informed by what you think is the right part of the present, you have to register it. You have to get it out there.
Yeah. If not to change the direction of the conversation, at the very least, so that when aliens come to the smoldering ruins of mankind, they can see something that was like, well, someone had a different idea for how this should
have gone.
Someone
raised this.
Yes.
Yes.
That makes complete sense.
Thank you, Jubin.
That
was much more succinct and much more on point.
Well, that's why I'm the host of this podcast. You
know. Today.
What?
In this one episode.
In this one episode.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, everybody's all cleaned up. Look at that.
The old suit, son.
I got the old suit on.
Looks good.
It still fits.
John, let me ask you a question. You'll be working with a lot of our correspondents. You know Jordan Klepper, obviously. You were at the show while he was at the show while you were host.
I don't.
You never actually met him.
You mean Jen?
No, Jordan. It's close. It's close. There's a lot of J's.
A lot of J's around the building. Yes.
I can see he's kind of tall guy, floppy hair.
Tall Jen.
We look
tall Jen. I call him tall Jen. Exactly the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's easy to get.
No, Jordan is the man. And I, from the moment he walked in the door, by the way, like he was just one of those dudes that, because you remember how a lot of times with the correspondents, there is a learning curve, not on the comedy chops or not on the writing chops or things like that, on the mechanics of the job. Mm-hmm. Just the weird logistics of, you know, what news people work on through, you know, communication school, that John.
Yes. Yeah.
And turning the camera and making your, like, there's a mechanical part of this job that it does take most performers who are not familiar with that some uptick in learning curve. Jordan was just like, is this my camera? Boom. Like, he knew all the roots, man, right off the bat.
Right. His audition was, we were like, John came back. He goes, we should hire that guy.
What we're saying here is Jordan is very good at faking authenticity is what we're saying. And I agree with that.
He is.
There are other correspondents, though. You haven't worked with Desi, Ronnie, Costa, Dulce. So far you've seen, you haven't seen much of them. But so far as you go in, what do you think their weaknesses seem to be?
Mostly, if I could be frank, health.
Yes,
it seems like there's a lot of, and I don't want to say tuberculosis.
It's an assumption.
But we keep the vents unclean, and I think that's part of the reason. Yeah, the air vents.
Now, whatever's happening looks to be the precursor to what happened in The Last of Us. Yeah. It could be a type of mold, a mycelium. But what's really interesting about it, because we've always talked about this, is finding correspondents for the show is a really arduous thing because it's a very rare individual that has the skill set.
It's so
that
many.
They have
skill
to
sets.
Be able to provide. And so many.
It's like,
you have to be a Swiss Army knife, but like a five tool player at all times.
Yep.
And so for you guys to be able to restock in that way is very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, Joss and I watch so many people that.
Poor Jossie.
Yeah. She
was on tape patrol back when I was here.
Oh, he left us. We're still on tape patrol.
Well, she's that good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. When we found Costa's tape, we were like, we got one. You know, we're like Ghostbusters, Antipots. Like
feeling
really,
in that room.
It is like, you're like, oh my God, we found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Trevor. You remember when you put Trevor's tape in and it wasn't even a correspondent. I watched it for like 10 seconds and I was like, that dude could do my job.
Literally, he said that.
I said that.
I've told this story before, but you said it. You left the room.
Yeah.
He didn't watch his whole, it was like a Letterman set.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
He didn't even watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I just go, that guy could do my job.
That guy's going to shake my chair one day, it was the quote. And he walked out and we all looked at each other and we go, is he leaving? And we got so worried and upset. And then we were like, and then the story goes on from there. But it was like, when you find a good one, you're just like, oh,
it's self-evident.
It's so great. And they're so great.
Jessica Williams.
Oh, remember hers too.
I watched Jessica Williams' tape and I was like, what? And it was one of those tapes, like it wasn't submitted by like an agent. Like it was one of those where you're like, is that filmed in someone's kitchen? Like what is happening?
Do you remember we plucked her from her parents' basement? I always say. Remember?
Yes.
She was like,
a person. Like just doesn't is like a little bit of like that supernova energy, like just doesn't come around that often.
Yeah.
And so whenever we'd find somebody like that, we were always like, we are going to lose them to SNL.
Immediately.
No question.
Michael Che. Remember when
Michael Che was here for 3 weeks?
I always say I was so happy that you did your on camera internship, summer internship with us for 3 months.
That's so funny.
He's so great. And it's that talent that you're like, oh, this is
undeniable.
But Desi, like they're all just.
I think
the
what
talented.
I'm really looking forward to this year is just is also them taking turns being in the chair, because each of them bring their own voice and their own perspective that I think is going to be really fun to contrast with each other.
You're gonna keep doing the show even. Not on Monday? I thought we talked about this.
We were going to
bring it up
Monday
with you.
The thing is,
take a nap and then
Paramount
likes us on Wednesday.
Yes.
To deliver multiple shows a week. And what? Yes.
Well, how can we do that? I'm only doing.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Because so you don't have to, but just in order to keep the office ratings up, that you know, the bracket our show, we got to have something on there, you know. So
I didn't realize.
So, yeah, so they're just gonna step in. I mean,
I'm really sorry that you're gonna have to be working like that.
It is so funny that when you leave,
if I may say,
on Monday,
seems like a grind.
It's a grind.
Yeah, it's a bit of a grind. Yeah,
but we're excited. I mean, there are guest host weeks. All of them were so funny. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm like so psyched to see them at the
But that was part of the thought process. And Jen and I had talked about this. You know, one of the things that, you know, the guest hosting thing, it was really fun. There was a lot of great people to do it. But when you're doing a show that is central as a point of view show, you are asking the staff to create a completely different show every week with a different point of view. And it's a really difficult ask. And I think part of kind of this reset that was part of it was, let's let the correspondents take that role and the staff and everybody can sort of calibrate around that sensibility.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really exciting.
And we know because we've been writing for their voices for so long and they're all friends, you know.
Boy, John, I wish you had been actually the in that guest host era where like every week the guests and their point of view would like wildly change how I would have to explain just by looking at the writers in the room that that point of view was not going to fly this week. So one week they would say something, I'd be like, good. The next week they'd say something, I'd just be staring at them like, just trying to like look while the guest host was
I told you guys, we are not going to fund Ukraine. Yeah. I told you guys that. And the next week you're like, Ukraine, Slava Ukraine.
The only thing standing between us and barbarism.
So funny. Yeah, that was hard.
A lot of whip.
But it was really great.
Difficulty
some
for
of them
a
were,
show. Like, you guys earned your stripes on that. Like, that's a very high degree of difficulty.
I think
we had some fun people come through, though.
We've earned our organic gummies, I think, for this.
Leslie Jones. It was like the energy that she brought and the perspective. Like,
just
pretty
pure
great.
Joy.
We
pure joy.
Laughed so much. Like, that studio was on fire. Yeah, it was. There was just a few people that were just so fun. Marlon was such a good time. And just fun to work with. And the respect that they had for the show and the desk because of you and Trevor. It's like they were so excited to do the show. It was really cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. They're like, I can't believe I'm doing The Daily Show. And I was like,
I can't believe you got a new desk. I walked in there and I was like, how tall was the previous host?
By the way, Trevor is deceivingly tall.
Yes.
Like deceivingly tall.
Deceivingly tall. He doesn't seem.
Yes.
He seems like average.
And explicitly handsome. And I don't care for that.
Actually, we're getting another new desk soon.
Wow, you
really accommodate for Trump.
Dropped your voice there.
You know what? I started thinking, can I say?
You just dropped a bombshell.
I was like, am I allowed to say this? By the way, I'm like, we're in charge, but am I allowed to say this? I don't know. Anyway, it'll be new and accommodate co-hosts because we had a lot of fun when we did that the Jordan Desi show and the Jordan.
Yeah, I like the idea of trying out the two-man game, the two host game.
Panel,
I think that's nice.
You know, if you want to talk to a few people, our desk currently doesn't really accommodate that.
So the only thing that, because I don't have the center of gravity by of having my feet like more firmly on the ground, that's a pretty slick plywood that goes beneath that thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that we at least put, because I don't know if you remember, like we nearly killed Jimmy Carter like 15 years ago.
Did he slide too fast out of the...
Yes.
He went to slide back and I don't think he realized like no brakes.
Yeah. And the desk is on a platform. So
I think our old stage manager might have saved his life.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
A hero. But yeah, there have been multiple guests over the years that almost... Yep. Fly off the platform and
that's the fun of it.
What a way to go.
Honestly, go big or go home.
That is like they wake up in a hospital. What happened? You were plugging your movie. You had just thrown to a clip.
Oh,
and then
you rolled
the
back
ambassador
and
to Germany.
That was it.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, we'll watch for that with the new desk.
Yeah, we'll check out.
Maybe we'll just do a chair with no wheels.
I mean, just, yeah.
You know, we'll see.
You know, just some, get some double-sided scotch tape on there. That'll solve the problem, too.
You do it, Juba.
I will.
What, are you talking to me?
Writing.
I'm not going to do it.
Producing.
I'm doing all.
Dressing the set.
Yeah,
fixing
the
wheel.
It's a grind.
No stop.
Aging 6 days for every day. That's the important thing. Well, look, guys, we are so excited to be back on the air and to tackle all the issues and just fun characters and goofs and gaffes that are going to be happening this election season. Let me ask you, John, before we let you go, what are you most excited for the viewers to tune in for this upcoming year?
I'm excited for the audience to experience that split second of vertigo that's going to happen when they see a familiar name in a familiar setting mm-hmm. with a completely different face and head. And I'm excited to see them go, wait, is that also happening to me? Because that would be weird.
If he's older, that must mean
wait a minute. How fast does this accelerate? Is this gentleman is heading to the event horizon? What is going on here?
Well, I'm sure that's why everyone will be watching.
Yes, everyone's going to be watching.
It's going to be awesome.
And we will. Yeah, the
election coverage is going to be fantastic. For the Ears Edition, I am Zubin Parang, joined by Jen Flans and the John Stewart.
What's up?
Bye.
Bye bye.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.